During the morning of December 18th, 2019, freezing rain produced an icy coating on trees, plants, power lines, and other untreated surfaces over central Pennsylvania. Freezing rain was not, however, the only precipitation falling from the sky on that day. It was also raining migratory loons. Joining us now by phone is Lee Grenzi. He's a retired meteorologist, author, and loon lover from central Pennsylvania, who's here to tell us more about this unusual event. Welcome, Lee.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Hey, thanks
it's
so much.
Interesting story.
Oh, it's fascinating. It's fascinating. So first, just tell us a little bit about who you are and what your passions are, because they seem to be quite broad.
Jack of all trades, master of none. I taught for 28 years in the Department of Meteorology at Penn State, and teaching is probably my number one passion as a meteorologist, but I also was on public television. Penn State produces a weather show called Weather World, and it reaches all of Pennsylvania, and the department had the contract for the New York Times. We did the weather page for well over a decade for the New York Times. So I was doing a lot of things, let's put it that way.
Wow, it's fascinating. We'll have to bring you back to hear more about some of those. But hey, what happened on December 18th that caught your attention?
Well, I actually was on Facebook, and a Facebook friend, Robin, who heads the Center Wildlife Care in the State College vicinity, had posted something about rescuing loons who had been grounded in the freezing rain event on that day. And I had never thought about anything like that birds would be could suffer a bad plight in such weather. And I started to think about it, and I mean, they were flying in the lower atmosphere, maybe between 500 and 3,000 feet.
It was migration season for them, right?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
And it's actually the winds aloft were from the south, so it's very interesting that loons would try to migrate in a headwind, which leads me to believe that another possibility that may have happened, well, of course, as the rain fell, it would tend to freeze onto the bird and weight them down and make flying very difficult. Yeah. Another possibility is once it started to rain, the ceilings over central Pennsylvania lowered, and they lowered to about 100 feet. And so the loons, and I'm not a loon, but the loons probably didn't want to fly through the cloud, because they could ice up in the cloud. Just the little small cloud droplets could deposit onto their wings and body, which means that they could have been as low as 100 feet off the ground and perhaps felt trapped at such a low altitude and then decided to land. Either way, whether it was the very low ceilings associated with the freezing rain or the deposit of ice from the freezing rain as they migrated, the loons were in trouble.
And when they got in trouble, they decided to land?
They decided to land, and according to Robin at Center Wildlife Care, they may have confused wet parking lots and wet roads as lakes and landed and landed trying to get away from the weighty ice. And unfortunately, loons, their back legs are so far back on their bodies, they're unable to walk on land. Moreover, they have great difficulty in taking off. They can't take off from land, and they really can't take off from small ponds or lakes. They typically, when they're migrating, they land in the ocean or some other larger body of water. So when they came down, they were in lots of trouble. So folks around central Pennsylvania called Robin at Center Wildlife Care, and cooperation of folks, they went out searching for loons and finding loons and taking them in until the freezing rain event stopped.
Wow. How many loons were you able to rescue?
Well, I didn't rescue them, but okay. Robin said probably about a dozen.
Wow.
She drove out to Stone Valley, which is very close to State College, Pennsylvania, and it's a relatively large lake, and she released them later in the day after the freezing rain had stopped. But the problem is, I mean, there could have been lots of loons who landed in remote areas,
sure.
And if they did, they were out of luck.
Sure, they'd be somebody else's dinner very quickly, I suppose.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Fascinating that they have such unique anatomy that complicated their situation. They can only take off. They're truly aquatic birds. They live in the water.
Yeah. And I didn't learn that. My wife and I went to Garden City, South Carolina last year, and we woke up one morning and there was a loon on the beach, and the loon wasn't moving or had difficulty moving, and so we called a rescue down here, and they actually drove down from North Carolina to rescue the loon. And that's when I learned about the anatomy of a loon, with the legs far back, that they can't walk on land and they can't take off from land. So it was nice to learn at my old age, I guess.
Well, yeah, it's something I'm just learning now. Are you aware?
Yeah.
Are there other bird species that are similar in that regard?
I wish I could tell you. I mean, I love wildlife and birds. I'm not a loon expert, and anything that I'm talking about with regard to loons, I'm getting secondhand through Robin at Center Wildlife Care. And there is a professor at Penn State who is a, quote, birder, and he helped to educate me as well.
Okay. So I'm curious as well, just in terms of the weather event aspect of all of this, freezing rain. I've always been thinking, why should rain freeze when it hits a surface? It's a liquid.
That's a great question. I to my students, I always describe the vertical profile of temperatures in the atmosphere that led to freezing rain as a warm air sandwich. Above about 10,000 feet, it's forever cold. Below 0 degrees Celsius, 32 degrees Fahrenheit, and sometimes when the winds turn southerly, then you get a warm layer somewhere in the lower atmosphere. Meanwhile, cold air can be trapped in the valleys. And central Pennsylvania is, I don't want to say it's mountainous like the Rockies, but we do have mountains, and some of the valleys are deep, and so cold air is very difficult to dislodge. So you have cold air several hundred feet, maybe 1,000 feet, right next to the ground, and then a layer of warm air above that, and then above the layer of warm air, there's a forever cold below 0 degrees Celsius. So that's the warm air sandwich. So as snowflakes, all precipitation over the middle latitudes, not all, but most of the precipitation over the middle latitudes starts as snow. Yes, even in summer, it starts as snow. Hmm. It falls. It hits the warm layer, melts into a raindrop, and continues its descent. And then it reaches this layer of cold air next to the ground, and it doesn't have time to freeze, but it becomes what meteorologists call supercooled. That is, it remains in liquid form, even though the temperatures are below 32 degrees Fahrenheit. So it's primed, if you will, to that when it hits a untreated surface like power lines or trees or anything like
my
that.
Windshield.
My windshield.
Your windshield. Or a bird flying through that area?
Pardon me?
Or a bird flying through that
area. Or a bird flying, or a loon flying through that area. Yes, yes. So any way you slice it, ice build up on the loons, and it was just too much weight for them to fly. And wow. Because the ceilings were low, I'm sure they, I can't speak for the loons, but I'm sure flying in the lowest 100 feet of the atmosphere is with ice on you, probably tempted them to land.
Sure. And is that sort of meteorologic event, is that similar to why airplanes need to be de-iced before they take
yeah.
off?
Yeah. The airplanes, it doesn't necessarily have to be freezing rain for aircraft to ice up. Aircraft typically will fly through a cloud on their ascent, and these clouds that are precipitating are made up of these tiny little water drops that can resist freezing down to minus 40 degrees Fahrenheit, if you can believe that.
Wow.
And that's because they don't have what we call a freezing nuclei, like a particle of clay or something like that to sort of trick the raindrop into forming a lattice structure of ice. So these really tiny cloud droplets don't have freezing nuclei. They stay super cooled, liquid below temperatures of 32 degrees Fahrenheit, and then when they hit the aircraft, they freeze. So it doesn't necessarily have to be precipitating for aircraft to get in trouble with regard to icing.
That's fascinating. And so it affects aircraft. It affects living, flying things.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes. And it affects old men like me who walk out on the sidewalk and forget that it could be icy and fall on their rear end.
I have shared that experience many times with you.
Yes.
Is there anything unique about the conditions that happened on that day?
Not in central Pennsylvania. I mean, we get this pattern often where cold air is difficult to be dislodged out of the deep valleys. So the cold air hangs tough. The winds turn southerly, and the warmer air glides up and over that trapped cold air. And so you've got cold air near the ground, warm air above that, and then above that is what I call the forever cold air. And that warm air sandwich is common in winter, especially in central Pennsylvania.
Okay, so the conditions themselves are common, which means there's not much we can do to anticipate events like this other than to know that loons may be migrating through at a certain time and could be impacted?
Yes, they could. Okay. Yes, they could.
Wow.
And to be honest, it's the first time I ever thought about migrating birds getting in trouble in freezing rain or getting sort of squeezed to the lowest 100 feet of the atmosphere and probably a combination of both, forced to land I'm thankful that Center Wildlife Care was able to rescue about a dozen of the loons. They're a beautiful bird, by the way.
Yeah.
Beautiful. But I also know that there had to be some loons that didn't make it who came down in remote areas.
Sure. Well, and here in northeastern Minnesota, we have lots of loons and lots of lovers of nature and of loons. So I'm sure that now we'll all be watching out for grounded loons, and our listeners are going to be more aware that if they see a grounded loon, it needs help.
Yes, it does. It does. And the key thing to remember, if that ever happens in your area, is don't pick up a loon and put it in a pond or a small lake. From what I've read and from what I've been told, it takes approximately 100, I was going to say 100 meters, but basically a football field of distance over water for a loon to safely take off. So any person meaning very well who picked up a loon and maybe thought to put it in water, it could have doomed the loon.
Sure, sure.
Just because the loon couldn't take off.
Right. So call somebody who knows what they're doing to help out.
Like Center Wildlife Care. If you Google that, they do remarkable work here in central Pennsylvania, just rescuing wildlife, and it's nonprofit, mostly donations. And my wife and I made a donation to help them care for the loons that they rescued. So I'm my wife likes to call me loony at times, but in this case, I think she's correct.
In a good way, in a really good way.
Yes, yes.
I am sure that this has stimulated the curiosity of many of our listeners tonight. We have been speaking with Lee Grenzi, a retired meteorologist,
very good
author, and loon lover. And Lee, thank you so much for making time to be with us tonight.
Oh, you're quite welcome. I love talking about the science that I spent most of my life doing.
Great. Thanks again, and have a great Friday.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.